Turn to Luke chapter number 1 and 2 this morning. We read from there this morning already, and in your bulletin is kind of a brief outline, and I'll give you some things that you can fill in there in added space that maybe you can fit some other things in there as well. But Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter number 2, there's something that I want to zero on, and every time I read the story, and I read it a couple of times this morning and then read it to you, this morning, I see new things that, well, I want to preach on that, so we won't do that, but just something that I've been kind of meditating on this week that I want to share with you. In Luke chapter number 1, let's look at a couple of verses again in chapter 1 and also in chapter number 2 of Luke's gospel. In chapter 1 and verse number 31, and it says, "As the angel spoke to Mary, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Of course, that name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. God is salvation. "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob." That's interesting. I see things in here that I want to teach on and preach on. Forever, in his kingdom, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Go to chapter number 2, if you will. In chapter number 2 and verse number 18, of course, the wise men don't come till later, or the wise guys, as we try to call them. Luke chapter number 2, the shepherds have come and found Mary and Joseph and the baby there in the manger. And in verse number 18 and 19, "And they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Father, we thank you for the reality that God himself came to this earth in the form of a man. He was fully God. He did not put aside his deity, but he veiled his deity by human flesh. And that little baby laying in the manger, born of a virgin with no human father, and therefore he had no sin nature, he came to be the Lamb of God, as John would introduce him. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," came into this earth to die for our sin. "He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might enjoy eternal life. And of course, you died on the cross. You gave your life, for no one could take your life from you, for you are life itself. You gave your life on the cross. And 3 days later, you rose triumphant out of the grave. And Lord, we're thankful that you died for our sins and you rose to show us that you have power over sin and death and hell and the grave. And Lord, we're looking forward to your coming again. The Lord, the world's looking at the first coming, but we're looking to the second coming, when Jesus comes again triumphant and we will be raised incorruptible to meet him in the air. Lord, we long for that day. Pray you bless our time together as we look into the Word of God. Oh, you're so good to us. We love you because you love us. We can come to you in the name of Jesus today because of what you've done for us. Bless now. In your name we pray. Amen. My study this past week, or really going back a little bit farther than that, is we've been looking at Hebrews, and I have said, and I'm kind of sidestepping Hebrews. Gary was giving me a hard time. I'll give him a hard time. Just keeping on schedule here as we go through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 1 is my favorite section of Scripture to read at Christmas time. in along with John chapter number 1, because that looks from God's perspective. But as I've been looking over and thinking of the events that we, of course, read from man's perspective, what we saw at the incarnation when Jesus became man, when God walked in human flesh, I've been thinking about and meditating on Mary. Now, don't get nervous. We're not going to be teaching Mariology or a Mariolatry. We're worshiping Mary as some folks do today. And some folks talk about the Immaculate Conception. Of course, that's never found in the Bible. And but that's what a lot of folks that call themselves Christians teach, that Mary was sinless in order to give birth to the Son. No, Mary makes it very clear that she was not sinless. Mary is not the mother of God. She was a human instrument that God used to bring Jesus into the world. In fact, that phrase, mother of God, is interesting because the prophet Jeremiah spoke, I think, 5 or 6 times and used the name the Queen of Heaven. Mary is sometimes called the Queen of Heaven, and Jeremiah was speaking about a pagan goddess that was called the Queen of Heaven. That's the only time you find that phrase in the Bible. Mary is not someone we pray to. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to the saints. We don't pray to those that have gone on before us. That's never hinted at in Scripture. But Mary was in need of salvation, just like you and I are in need of salvation. In fact, one of the great hymns that's found in the Bible, I kind of skipped over it. I want to look at it now in Luke chapter number 1, when Mary came to visit Elizabeth in Luke chapter number 1. Look at verse number 46. This is a song that Mary sang. And Mary said, "My Lord, my soul doth magnify the Lord, for my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You see, Mary needed a Savior just like you and I need a Savior. "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength in his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." And she was thinking of herself there. "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hoped or helped his servant Israel to remember in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with Elizabeth there for 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, we see here the great story. I'm going to say this. When I look at Mary, you think of this young lady who was anticipating being married to her sweetheart. And all of a sudden, everything changed in her world. And I was thinking of that, especially with Mary, how life turned out nothing like she would have ever dreamt. And we think, well, what a wonderful thing it is that she was able to bring Christ into the world. But what a difference it made in her life. And how different our lives turn out than what we had one day thought. And just think of Mary for a little bit, and we'll look at ourselves. What Mary pondered in her heart. And again, in chapter 1 and verse number 28, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Jehovah is our salvation, as the angel spoke to Mary. And then again in chapter number 2 and verse, or chapter number 1 and verse number 42, as Elizabeth spoke to Mary, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Not the fruit of the loom, all right? I don't know how kids usually say that. I've caught myself saying it before. But blessed, Mary will be different than any. Now, here she was, just a little peasant girl. Nobody special, nobody unusual. Yet God reached down and touched her and made her the most memorable person in all the world's history. That she would be honored to bring Jesus into this earth, born of a virgin. And as the angels sang or spoke their words to the shepherds and those that glorified God in the presence of the shepherd and Mary and Joseph in that manger on that birthday of Jesus, it says that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. In chapter 18, or chapter 2, again, verse number 19, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You wonder what was going through the mind of Mary. You wonder what she was thinking there. I want to say, first of all, what Mary did know. What she did know is there's a Messiah coming into this earth that's going to be born of the seed of a woman, an impossible birth. And she did know that she had now been chosen of God to bring that baby into the world. She did, as she looked at that little baby, realize this is the Messiah, the Christ. The Messiah and Christ are the same terms as Old Testament and New Testament language. The Messiah, the promised one, the Savior of all mankind. I'm holding that baby in my hand. This is not just a baby. This is not a baby. And sometimes you hear foolish people talk about, oh yeah, it's a baby born out of wedlock and all the silliness that crazy people talk about this time of year. But this is a baby that was born of a virgin without a male seed. The seed of the woman that God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This is God incarnate. God in the form of a man, of a helpless little baby. She knew that this Jesus is not only the Christ, He's the Savior of the world. He's the one that was promised when man first fell. He's the one that was the seed of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs. He's the son of David, of the lineage of David. And she also knew that she was unworthy to bring this child into the world. She was nothing but a sinner. And yet God chose her. She knew that Jesus one day would reign on the throne of his father David. She knew who this Jesus was. And there as she looked at that little baby, with tender tears flowing down her cheeks, why me, God? Why would you choose me to bring this baby into the world? She did know this was the Messiah. This was the Christ. This was the Lord, the Creator of all the universe. Mary did know that. But I wonder what she was surprised at later in her life. What Mary may not have known. She may not. In fact, I'm quite convinced she would have been like the disciples even when they were walking with Jesus and hearing His teaching. They didn't really understand all that was involved in Christ's first coming. You see, they were seeing Christ through the eyes of the prophets who saw from their perspective all of Christ's first and second coming in one event. She was expecting, like the disciples, this man to come and reign over all the world to bring back the glory days of Israel, to sit on the throne of David. What she may not have known, of course, was the miracles. She would not have understood how He's going to begin His earthly ministry by being baptized of John and then the first miracle of turning the water into wine. She might not have known, in fact, she would not have known of the teachings, the miracles, the touching the blind to give them sight, the restoring health to the lame, restoring hearing to the deaf and speech to the mute. She would not have known of the fact that Jesus would walk on the water and calm the sea. She would not have known of all the miracles, all the things of raising Lazarus from the dead. And all the things that she would not have known of, she would not have known, fully understood the rejection that Jesus would face. The crucifixion and the resurrection, and certainly Jesus taught his disciples that I'm going to, and even when he taught his disciples, they kind of, no, we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to let that happen to you. She would have been as confused as the disciples as far as the earthly ministry of Jesus. Yet she knew that this was the Christ. This was the Messiah. This is the King that will sit on the throne of David. What she knew and what she may not have known. Of course, this time of year, we sing a lot of songs that only come out this time of year, right? Even the ones with, there's only 6 verses in that song. I thought some of those songs seemed like they have a dozen verses in them in the hymnal. And some of those songs are not exactly doctrinal, scripturally, right? But we still sing them this time of year, and I know some folks get all bent out of shape. And one song that, in thinking of Mary, I can't help but to think of a song, and I'm not going to sing it. I showed it to Connor and said, I'm going to let you sing it. The man named Mark Lowry, who's a singer and a comedian, he wrote a song that is called Mary, Did You Know? You're familiar with it. And sometimes we like to bash that song, and I was just looking at that song again this week, and once you start looking at it, you can't help singing it, but I'm not going to do that. It is a beautiful song. But the doctrine is somewhat puzzling in that song. In fact, I was reading things from different perspectives. To the Catholics, it's pretty puzzling. To the Protestants, it's pretty puzzling. To the evangelicals, they're like scratching their head. And Bible-believing Baptists are saying, wait a minute, what are we talking about here? But then almost every article I read said, well, I know that this song doesn't go exactly right with everything that we believe and teach, but it's a beautiful song. And we ought to enjoy it for the sake of music. It's kind of sad in our day today that many folks say, well, let's just sing it because it makes us feel good and it's good entertainment. Or good entertainment slash worship, what's called worship of our day. In fact, most folks would kind of end the articles that I read, just ignore the doctrine and enjoy the entertainment slash worship of the song. But there's some questions in there, and Mark Lowry talks about writing this song. He was thinking about Mary, like I was doing today, and this mother looking at the face of this newborn baby and asks the question, Mary, did you know that baby boy would one day walk on water? No, she didn't know that. All right. Mary, did you know that baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Yes, she knew that. Did you know that he would come to make you new? Yes, she needed a savior. She needed to be made new. Did you know that that child you delivered will soon deliver you? Yes, she knew that. That's a silly question. Of course she knew that. Did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? No, she probably didn't know that. Did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? No, didn't know that. Did you know that he'd walk where angels trod? Yes, she knew that. Trod. Never mind. That doesn't fit right, does it? Did you know that when you kiss that little baby, you kiss the face of God? Yes, with reservations. Yes, he's veiled in humanity. He is God in the flesh, but that's a tricky one there. Did you know that he would cause the blind to see? No, didn't know that. Did you know he'd cause the deaf to hear? Nope. Did you know that the dead will live again? Yes, he knew that. This gets confusing, doesn't it? Did you know that he will cause the lame to leap. Nope, probably didn't know that. Did you know that he'd cause the dumb to speak? Nope. And by the way, social media has done a real good job of that too. So, never mind. Did you know that he's the Lord of all creation? Yes, she knew that. Did you know that he would one day rule all the nations? Yes, she knew that. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? Yes, she knew that. She knew that he was the Christ. Did you know that he is the great I am? Yes, she knew that. But Mary, looking at that baby, what was going through her thought? Her mind was going through. Never mind. And then I look at our life. And I, of course, Mary was no different than any other woman, other than she was chosen of God, and she will be honored above all women because she was a chosen vessel of God. I got thinking about our lives. On your bulletin there, the next blank there is what we cannot know. There's a lot of things in our lives we cannot know. A lot of things in our world that we cannot possibly know. Of course, we can Google it, and we know everything, right? The path of our life will be much different than we planned. You know, how many folks could say, well, this is exactly how I planned my life would be? We didn't know where our career would take us. We didn't know who we'd marry. My wife and I didn't until we were adults, but we got married before we were adults. But we got pictures to prove it. But we didn't meet until I was out of high school. She was still in high school when we met. I would have never known. Would have never known the direction our children would go. And some folks say, oh, everything turned out but just the way I'd planned. I had it all figured out when I was... Anybody say that today? You're either a very dull person or you're delusional or you're dishonest if you say that everything happened just the way I planned. Some things in life we'll never know. Someone said that two things are sure in this life, and that is what? Death and taxes are the two things that are for sure. We were at a funeral yesterday of someone that was influential in a family that was very influential on us. And one thing we can know, death is going to come someday. Yesterday was the third anniversary of Brother Rex passing away. There's also, well, today, a dear friend of ours, we saw his wife yesterday, passed away a day after Rex. I had to spend a little bit of time conversing with her and letting her know that we've been praying for her. Death is sure. One thing we can know, or we cannot know, all the heartache that we're going to face. Now, tonight, we're going to come back to some things here with Mary that really got me going in this direction to begin with. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What? How's that possible? He said in John chapter number 14 to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. In fact, he said it two different times. Let not your heart be troubled. And we're going to focus on those two things in just a minute. Of why we should not let our heart be troubled. And then James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When difficulties come in your life, rejoice because you don't know what's on the other side, but God does. We cannot know the heartache, the trials, the troubles that we're going to face. We cannot know the insignificant things that happen in our life that later we look back and see that they were some of the most significant things that ever happened to us. But who would have ever thought at the time? What we cannot know. And then there are some things that we can know. And that's what we ought to focus on. And Mary would look at that little baby and say, well, I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I know that little baby is the Messiah. I know that this is the Son of God. I know that this child is my Savior. That I'm in need of salvation and this child somehow is going to be my Savior. This child is somehow going to get me to heaven. What we can know. What we can know today. When we face different things in our life, we can know this. That Jesus will always be with us. If you're a child of God, you'll always be a child of God. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, in John chapter 14, most of us are aware of the first time Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." The second time He said it, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's talking about, "I'm going to be with you. Doesn't matter what you go through, I'll be there with you. Through the darkest times, through the best times, I'll always be there with you. There's nothing that's going to take me by surprise. In fact, everywhere you go, I'm already there. I've already experienced this. I know exactly what you're going to do, and I can pick you up. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I'll show you things that you never knew, but I knew." We can't know certain things, but we can know that He's walking with us. That He's with us all the way. Another great song, "I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. But there's one thing that I know, that the one that I hold onto is the one that holds, I hold the hand of the one who holds tomorrow in His hands. He's in control of all things, and I can just walk with Him." And one thing I can know is not only that He's walking with me, "Let not your heart be troubled." And the second thing I can know is I'm going to be in heaven one day with Him. One day, this life will be nothing but a memory. Nothing but, you know, the older I get, the more clearly I see this, because you go through different stages in your life. And I always point this out to young people, but old people need to hear this too. When you get to be an adolescent, you're sometimes embarrassed at the things you used to do. Sometimes kids say, "Well, when I was a kid, how old are you?" And you think, "Well, the silly things that I used to do and think." And then you get to be a teenager. Think, "Boy, I was a dumb little kid, huh?" And then you get to be, you know, an older teenager. Now you know everything. You think, "Boy, I was really foolish back then. Just 2 years ago. But now I know so much more. I'm so much smarter now." And then you go to college and now you know more than your parents. Well, as a teenager, you know more than your parents. When you go to college, you know more than God. Now you know everything. You look back and say, boy, what those silly years. I was talking to one of my siblings this week about the high school days. And I said, "You know, I've never gone to a high school reunion. I have no interest in ever really going to one because I was such a stupid, before I knew the Lord, for one thing. And life has completely turned upside down since then." And he said, "Well, I've gone to every one of mine." I'm not sure if I could face some of the people. I was such a foolish young person. But you look back in those foolish days, and then you get to be an adult. And I remember when our first child was born, and I thought, "Oh my, my mom went through this 13 times. I remember growing up, I thought, "Well, I kind of feel like I missed out on something because my mom had a baby almost every year. But some of us, we were 2 years apart because of the times of our birth. My next oldest brother was 2 years older than me, and it just so happened my next oldest, younger brother was 2 years younger than me. So I didn't have a brother in the next grade like most of my siblings did. So I decided before we had children, I want to have one every year so they're all right beside each other going through school. And when the first one came, I thought, maybe we'll wait another 20 years. not sure if I can handle this. And of course, I say me. I'm just, oh my. But we think we know so much as we get old. And I believe this, when we get to heaven, we're going to look back in this life and think all the things that so consumed our thoughts are going to be nothing when we get there. We're so wrapped up in this world. One thing we can know, Jesus is walking with us. One thing we can know, and I don't know how, and Mary, look at her life, says, "You are blessed among all women. This baby that you're holding is the Messiah." I don't know how it's all going to work out. And we're going to look at some of the things. The verse where the angel, or the Simeon said, the sword will pierce your soul. The things that Mary had to go through, I'm looking forward to that more than anything. But what we can know, Jesus is with us and we have a home prepared for us in heaven. If you're saved. If you're not saved today, you have really nothing to look forward to beyond this life. Except an eternity without God. And that is a place that Jesus called Gehenna or hell, we call it today. A lake of fire, a place of torments. And the only way we can escape that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this earth, the picture is still up there, born in a manger, died on a cross, and raised from the grave. And He gives eternal life to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. When we come to that place in our life where we realize my good works, my good looks, my works, or anything, my religion, none of that can get me to heaven. I am a sinner. Like Mary said, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Many folks today could never get saved because they don't realize they're lost. Until we realize we're lost, we'll never get saved. You know, I was a teenager. That's a child. I took a number of courses. I part fish, I guess. I like being around water. If I live in water, if I could. But I took a number of life-saving courses and to be a lifeguard and things. Never was a lifeguard, but I got certified a few different times. And one of the first things they tell you, if somebody's drowning and filleting in the water, and by the way, some of you don't believe this, everybody can swim. The only reason you can't swim is because you're afraid and you panic and that's why you drown. When somebody's thrashing in the water, it's best to do one of two things. Wait till they sink and they'll go in after them. Or if they haven't sunk yet, make sure you approach them from the back. Because otherwise, they're probably going to knock you out, flashing in the water and pull you down with them. Because they're trying to save themselves. And until we come to that place where we realize, I need a Savior. I can't do it on my own. I thought my religion was going to get me to heaven, but my religion can't get me to heaven. I need to trust Jesus Christ who died for me. And say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know You died for me. And I know You rose from the dead. You're the only one that ever raised yourself from the dead, proving that You are God. And I call upon You to be my Savior. I call upon You, Lord, save me. Unless you come to that place in your life, you cannot know that you're going to heaven. The only way you can know you're going to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we think, well, it'll all work out. You know, some of us grew up hearing the song, "Sarah, Sarah." Everything, whatever will be, will be. No, it's better than that. God's in control of everything. Jesus Christ, if He's your Savior, He's always there. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. We can rest in Him. No matter what we face in this life, a lot of things we'll face that we cannot know. But we can know this, that we're going to heaven at the end of this life, and that Jesus is going to walk with us until we get to to that place. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.